This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So when you are saying in your salah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path, you are saying, amongst other things, guide me, O Allah, to the path of Islam. The question that arises here naturally is, I'm already a Muslim. So what is the need to repeat this dua again and again? What is the significance of it? Surely this is the kuffar who will see value in ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. But for me, I don't think there's any more value left to take from this dua, because alhamdulillah, I'm already a Muslim. And that's, this misunderstanding is perhaps largely the cause to why this dua is so underestimated and so underappreciated in many of our lives. I want to show you now, dear brother, dear sister, and I promised you we would do this last week, that this dua of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim is the crown of all favors. It is the very top of the pyramid, the highest part of the hierarchy when it comes to making requests from Allah. You cannot request anything more important and beneficial for you and more comprehensive than the statement of, guide me to the straight path and allow me to show you why. This is a multi-dimensional, multifaceted, multi-layered dua, and I want to show you several of the layers that are found and compressed within this one dua that Allah has gifted to you and I. Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions this, and I'm just going to adapt his work and translate. He says that there are two scenarios to begin with. We're going to work our way up. To begin with, there are one of two scenarios. Either you are a Muslim or either you are non-Muslim. So when you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, you are saying, oh Allah, put me upon a path of Islam. And this is useful for you as well as a Muslim. How do you know that the Islam that you are upon is the Islam that Allah Almighty wants from you? Is it not that Islam has conditions? Is it not that Islam has nullifiers? How do you know that the Islam that you are upon is the complete Islam that Allah Almighty wants from you? So when you say, oh Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, you're saying, put me upon a path of Islam. That's number one. Then the layer above that. Now that you are upon this path of Islam, is it not that two scenarios apply here as well? Either you have knowledge of this path, or either you are ignorant of it. Is it not that we are here to study our religion and to remove the veils of ignorance from ourselves? Is it not that there are things that are halal, and things that are haram, things that are detestable, things that are preferable, minor sins, major sins? So another two scenarios apply now that you are a Muslim. Either you have knowledge of this religion or you don't. So when you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, you are also saying, oh Allah, give me knowledge of those things about the religion that I don't know. Teach me. And the Quran says, رَبِّ زِدِنِي عِلْمًا, say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So when you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, you are saying, oh Allah, number one, put me upon a path of Islam. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, you are also saying, oh Allah, teach me about the things of Islam that I don't know. Number three, is it not that you may know and learn about your religion, but then discover that you don't have the ability to act upon it? Correct? Is it not that some people know that Hajj is an obligation, but they don't have the ability to carry it out? There's no money, there's no health, etc. Sah? Some people, they know, they have knowledge that Ramadan, fasting, in the month is an obligation. But they don't have the ability to act upon it because of health, etc. Some people, they know that zakah is an obligation. It's part of their religion. But they don't have the ability to give. Why? Because they don't have the money. The nisab, for example. So you may be upon a path of Islam, and you may learn about the religion, but then you discover that what? You don't have the ability to act upon it. So when you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path, you are saying, put me, O Allah, upon a path of Islam. And you are saying, teach me about Islam. And you are saying, give me the ability to act upon the knowledge that you taught me. Correct? You with me? Layer number four. Now that you have discovered that you have the ability through اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, Allah has given you the ability to worship Him, you may discover something else. I lack the motivation. You may discover that you are lacking the inspiration to carry out what you know you should do. Correct? Isn't it conceivable that you have the ability to do something, but your heart doesn't help you? When you wake up in the morning for Salatul Fajr and you hit the snooze button, is it because you didn't know that Fajr was a requirement? No, you know it's a requirement. Is it because you lack the ability? I mean, are your feet, your legs not working? No, your legs are working. So what's missing? The tawfiq, the inspiration. Correct? When you hear the adhan of the masjid down the road, figuratively or literally, and you choose to pray at home next to your bed, may Allah pardon us. Is that because you lack the ability to go to the masjid? No, we have the ability to go to the masjid. What do we lack? The drive, the inspiration, the desire that helps us get up and do what we need to do. So when you say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, you are also saying, oh Allah, put in my heart the inspiration needed so that I can get up and do what is required of me. Whether it is salah, whether it is hijab, whether it is the abandonment of a sin or a haram relationship, give me the tawfiq to act upon the ability that I have. Put the inspiration in my heart. So now that you have said Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, and Allah has put you upon the path of Islam, and Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah has taught you about Islam. In Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, He has given you the ability to act upon what you have learned. And Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, He's now given you the inspiration to actually worship Him. There is another problem. That when you worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, you discover that you don't have ikhlas. You don't have sincerity. Your heart is going south. You're looking to please someone else. So when you say, Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, you are also saying, oh Allah, give me the sincerity required to unlock this act of worship and make it purely for you. And then if Allah has given you sincerity, there is another problem. You may discover that you're not doing it according to the sunnah. So there is a bid'ah, there is an innovation involved. You're not doing it according to the prophetic way. So when you say, Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, you're saying, oh Allah, give me ittiba', conformity to the prophetic way, so you accept my act of worship. That's how many things? Five or six? That's six. Is there anything left? Steadfastness. Is it not that some people do and are blessed with all six of these things? But then they change their religion some point in their lives. So when you say, Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, you are also saying, oh Allah, thabbitna ala al-sirat al-mustaqim. Keep us upon the path of Islam. Keep us there. Allow us to live there. And allow us to die upon it. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us to say in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh, our Lord, don't cause our hearts to deviate after You had guided us. Do you not know of hearts that deviated? Maybe yourself, at some point in your life, you went through a spiritually challenging time when you weren't all there. That's you and that's me. Is it not that you know people who used to attend a class with you in the masjid or used to pray and now they don't? People who used to, sisters, dress a certain way, Islamic way, and now they don't. People who used to say, La ilaha illallah, and now they don't. What happened? That seventh component of guide us to the straight path, i.e., oh Allah, keep us firm upon the path of Islam. That was missing. Do you see, dear brothers and sisters, how important this dua is? Do you see how in need you and I are of Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim? And that is why Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said about this dua, he said, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ أَنْفَعُ الدُّعَاءِ وَأَعْظَمُهُ وَأَحْكَمُهُ دُعَاءَ الْفَاتِحَةِ Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. He said, for this reason, the greatest of all dua, the most beneficial of all dua, and the most comprehensive of all dua is the dua of al-fatiha, Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. So now, when you are in salah and you say Ameen, when you finish your Fatiha, meaning, oh Allah, please answer my dua, Amen, you say it from your heart. You say it from the depths of your essence. Because you have just remembered all of the layers that are found and the meanings that are encompassed in Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. You say, Ameen, Ya Rab, I need those things. I need those levels. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Then you will say, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. The path, O Allah, of those who you have conferred your favor upon. That's the path I want. And this is from the mercy of Allah, where He reminds you in such a subtle way that this path that you are upon, the path of Islam, though it may seem lonely at times, it is a path that has been traversed and continues to be traversed by many people. You're not alone. You say, guide us to the straight path. That's just an abstract idea. Meaning, it's just a path. The second part of the ayah humanizes it, where it reminds you that there were humans and jinn and angels, prophets and messengers as well, who are upon this path. So you're not alone. So that gives you so much motivation in the face of mockery, belittlement, estrangement, etc. Which path is it, O Allah, that you want me to stay upon? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those who earned your favor, O Allah. Who are the people who an'am Allahu alayhim, who earned the favor of Allah? Some scholars say this ayah is in reference to the angels. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those who have earned your favor, it means the angels. They are the ones who went on this path and they earned the favor of Allah. Others, they said, it's the prophets and messengers from the scholars of tafsir. Others, they said, it's the believers at the time of Prophet Musa and Prophet Jesus, Isa. Others have said, it is in reference to the Sahaba, companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Others have said it is in specific reference to Abu Bakr and Umar and our Messenger ﷺ. These were the ones who earned the favor of Allah. And no doubt, these opinions, as you can see, they are intended to be as amthal examples. They don't contradict one another. It's all part of those who have earned the favor of Allah. And that is why Allah said in chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, what is the outcome? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, they will be with those whom Allah has favored. Who are the people whom Allah has favored? It's explained. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, from the prophets. وَالصِّدِّقِينَ, the siddiqs, those who always attest to the truth of Islam. وَالشُّهَدَاءَ, the martyrs. وَالصَّالِحِينَ, and the righteous ones. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا, and this is the best company. So you say, who are those who have earned the favor of Allah? Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, explains to you that this includes the prophets, it includes the siddiqs, it includes the martyrs, it includes the righteous ones. So this is empowering. In salah you say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, O Allah. Which path? Sirat al-Ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those who have earned your favor. And now you're just thinking of the angels and the believing jinn who are upon your path as well, and you're thinking of Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, and you're thinking of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you're thinking of the Sahaba, you're thinking of the 10 who are promised paradise, you're thinking of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you're thinking of the Tabi'een. All of these images come into your mind because they were all upon the path of Islam. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, those who have earned your favor, O Allah. And then you say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, not the path of those who earned your wrath, O Allah, your anger, and not the path of those who went astray. So you say in your dua, which path it is that you want, the path of Islam. And who are those who covered your path? And who are those whom you want to avoid? Al-Maghdubi alayhim, those who earned the anger of Allah. Who are they? The scholars of tafsir, they say, Al-Maghdubi alayhim, those who earned the anger of Allah, is in reference to those who had knowledge of the truth, but they chose to not act upon it. And Ad-Dallin, those who went astray, they are those who missed out on the knowledge. They didn't have the knowledge of the truth. And so they worshipped Allah upon ignorance. And that's why Allah Almighty, He said, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, those whom we have given the book. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognize the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet of Allah, just as they recognize their children. So imagine, they recognize him just as they recognize their own children. When you go to the nursery to pick up your child, and 50 or 100 kids come running your way, do you become confused which one is your child, and you take the wrong one home, and you say, oh my goodness, I've taken Richard. Where is Muhammad? This doesn't happen. So he said, the same way that the Jews recognize their children, thus they also recognize the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Ishaq, he narrates a very interesting narration in his seerah. He says that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in the city of Medina, and he'd reached the city of Quba, he was coming into the city of Medina now for the first time, and he had settled in Quba. Just before he arrives in Medina, there were two Jews who made their way to see him from a distance to discover if he was the Prophet of God mentioned in the, or prophesied in the Old Testament. And their names were Huyay ibn Akhtab and Abu Yasir, his brother. The daughter of Huyay ibn Akhtab, her name was Safiya. Of course, she would grow up and become the mother of the believers, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said, I was the most beloved of all little girls to my father and to my uncle Abu Yasir. Whenever they would see me, they would drop any child that they have. They would leave him or her and they would carry me instead. So they loved little Safiya. So she is talking about a time when she was still very young, and she remembers the incident very vividly. She said, when the Prophet ﷺ made his way to Medina and he was now in Quba, my father Huyay and my uncle Abu Yasir, they went to Quba to look at him from a distance. And when they saw him, they came back that evening. She said, they were kallayni, kaslanayni, mut'abayni, yamshiyani al-huwayna. They were tired. They were fatigued. They had left in the early hours of the morning and they'd come back at night. And they were walking side to side in slumber, in weakness, staggering. And she said, so I ran up to my father and my uncle as I usually do, a little girl. And she said, they didn't even look at me. They were so burdened by something. She said, I heard my uncle saying to my father, Ahuwa hu, meaning, is it really him? And my father said, yes, it's him. That's the Prophet of God mentioned in the Old Testament. He said to him, Ata'arifuhu wa tuthbituhu, can you prove it for sure? Are you absolutely certain? He said, yes. So uncle Abu Yasir said to Huyay, فَمَا مَوْقِفُكَ مِنْهُ, what are you going to do? What's your stance on him? And he said, عَدَاوَتُهُ وَاللَّهِ مَا بَقِيتُ, he will be my enemy until the end of time. So the knowledge is there. But there was hasad, there was envy, that the final prophet would come from the Arabs, and he did not come from Bani Israel, the children of Israel, or that line of prophets. So they recognized him. So Allah says, not the path of al-maghdubi alayhim, those who earned your anger, those who knew the truth, but they chose not to act upon it. And not the path of al-dalun, those who went astray, they didn't have knowledge of the truth, and therefore they didn't act upon it. So you have three levels. You have those who had no knowledge and no application. Those are al-dalin, those who went astray. Then you have the level of those who have knowledge but did not act upon it. Those are maghdubi alayhim. They earn the anger of Allah. Then you have the third level, those who have knowledge and they act upon it. Those are min alladhina an'ama Allahu alayhim, those who have earned the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dallin. Here you say, Ameen. Ameen. What does Ameen mean? Some of the scholars, they say Ameen means Allahumma stajib, oh Allah, please answer the dua. At-Tirmidhi, he said, it means Allahumma la tukhayyib raja'ana, oh Allah, don't let us down in our hopes in you. Ameen, oh Allah, don't let our hopes down in you. Or it means, oh Allah, please answer our dua, Allahumma astajib. And here it's recommended that you are to extend the pronunciation of Ameen, or تقرأها بالقصر, you recite it in a shortened way, Ameen. Wa'il ibn Hujr, the companion, he said, سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين يمد بها صوته. I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say آمين at the end of Al-Fatiha, يمد بها صوته, he elongated his voice with it. آمين. This is one interpretation. In another narration which Abu Dawood narrates, he said, يَرْفَعُ بِهَا صَوْتَهُ, he would raise his voice with it. Ameen, he would raise his voice with it. This is in another narration in the Sunan of Abu Dawood. And that's the madhab of the majority of the scholars, that when you say Ameen, you do it in an audible way. If you are reciting Salah, if you are in Salah, that is an audible Salah, Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, when you're reciting aloud, then you say Ameen aloud. And if you say, if you are reciting Al-Fatiha in a surah or in a salah where it is quiet, Dhuhr and Asr, then you say Ameen quietly. The Hanafis, of course, they have a different madhab here, and one of the narrations of the Malikis, which is that Ameen should always be quiet. And they have their evidences for this as well. Ameen. And this is a ni'mah of Allah Almighty, that other nations have showed envy towards us because of the blessing of Ameen and how we recite it in a unified way. And the proof, and perhaps I will leave you with this narration. Imam al-Bukhari narrates on the authority of Aisha that the Jews once came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said to him, Assalamu alayk, meaning may death be upon you. Instead of saying Assalamu alayk, may peace be upon you, they removed the lam, and so it becomes Assam, which in Arabic language means death, may death be upon you, Astaghfirullah, thinking that he wouldn't realize. He said to them, Wa alaykum, and may it be upon you. Our mother Aisha, this is in Sahih Muslim, she noticed what they just done. The play with words to send a subtle insult at our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said, Bal Assamu alaykum, Wa la'natullahi, وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ, she said, no, may death be upon you and the curse of Allah, and may the wrath of Allah fall upon you. She said this because she heard her husband alayhi salatu wasalam being insulted in this sly way. And then he said to her, Aisha, mahlan, calm down. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقِ, Allah is a rafiq, or Allah Almighty loves us to be gentle and to behave in a gentle way. And he does not love al-fuhsh. Allah does not love fuhsh, meaning obscene talk. And then she said to him, didn't you hear what they said? He said, didn't you hear what I said? Meaning, they said to me, Assalamu alaykum. I said, Wa alaykum. So she said to him, didn't you hear what they said to you? He said to her, didn't you hear how I responded? I said, Wa alaykum, may it be upon you. So Allah will answer my dua, but he will not answer theirs. So it will fall upon them, but it will not fall upon us. And he said it will fall upon them until the day of judgment. In another narration, there is an addition. And this is why I've mentioned this scenario, to link it with Ameen. He said, oh Aisha, he explains to her why they have this type of jealousy towards us. He said, إِنَّهُمْ لَا يَحْسُدُونَنَا عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَا يَحْسُدُونَنَا على يوم الجمعة التي هدانا الله لنا وضلوا عنها وعلى القبلة التي هدانا الله لنا وضلوا عنها وعلى قولنا خلف الإمام آمين. He said, O Aisha, there is nothing that causes them more envy towards us than the day of Friday, Jumu'ah, that Allah guided the Muslims to and they were misguided from. And they envy us for the Qibla that we have. We pray to one direction that Allah guided us to and they were misguided from. And they envy us for our statement of Ameen behind the Imam. So you and I will just say Ameen. We don't realize that when that is broadcasted across the globe and they see it and others, it causes a real problem in the hearts of some. admiration in the hearts of some non-Muslims, but a real frustration and perhaps fear in the hearts of others, as the Muslims in their thousands, they say Ameen in a unified voice behind their Imam. It's fakhr, it's an honor, a privilege, and a cause of pride for the believers to say Ameen. And here the Prophet ﷺ recommends us to say Ameen with the Imam when he says Ameen, because if your Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Imam, or your Ameen coincides with the Ameen of an angel, your sins will be forgiven. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira, إِذَا أَمَّنَ الْإِمَامُ فَأَمِّنُوا فَمَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُوهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. When the Imam says Ameen, say Ameen. Because if your Ameen corresponds with the Ameen of an angel, then all of your sins are forgiven. Allahu Akbar. So with this, alhamdulillah, we bid farewell to Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah, it was supposed to be just scratching the surface of this mighty surah. We bid farewell to Surah Al-Fatiha. And next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we continue speaking about the emotions of salah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.